In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the reading of the Catholic Epistle of this Blessed Sunday, we hear St. James teaching and instructing us that we have to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And resisting the devil, before all, we have to understand his tricks and his traps that he works with it and catch and take and snatch in his hand many of the people. And he changes his tricks from time to time. That's why we see in the book of Revelation that Satan takes many forms. One time he is the dragon, one time he is the serpent, one time he speaks on the mouth of a false prophet. And this is how cunningly he deceives many. So in order to be able to resist him, first of all, we have to understand how does Satan works, how he makes his nets around God's people. Currently, we can see that he is working with five major traps in order to catch and snatch God's people. These are namely idleness, surrendering to ignorance, offenses, evil imaginations, and the deception of duality. These are the most common and most dangerous traps in our contemporary time. Let us go and review each one of them, how each one of these traps works. First of all, the trap of idleness. By idleness, we mean that we spend many, many times doing just nothing. And people are content to kill time, not knowing that this time is the units, the blocks of each one's life. The Bible teaches us, St. James says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. The sin is not only breaking God's command and doing something that we know it is wrong, but also knowing to do good and we do not do it, it's a sin. Wasting time in idleness, doing nothing, it's considered as a sin, because this time was given to us for a purpose. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. A consequence King Solomon speaks about in the book of Proverbs. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Sometimes people joke and say that when we sleep, we do not sin. Actually, sleeping too much, doing nothing, spending all the weekend doing nothing, it's considered as a waste of a resource, a very precious one. That's the gift of time. Not only the Bible is teaching us how not to be idle, how we should work and profit with the talent of time, but also lay people and teachers and philosophers. If there is something that everyone is in agreement with, it is that idleness is one of the traps that takes us away from God. Here also, one of the teachers says, idleness is a constant sin, and labor is a duty. Idleness is the devil's home for temptation and for unprofitable, distracting musings, while labor profits others and ourselves. Idleness is the devil's home for temptation. Usually, we are tempted to do nothing. The devil will find in our minds the field that's ready for him to work. Idleness is truly a constant sin, something that we do not even watch and observe, but unfortunately, it is the devil's home for temptation. Another philosopher also says, people who have nothing to do are quickly tired of their own company. And this is truly, when we look at it, when we do nothing, we do not enjoy this. At the end of the day, sometimes on Saturdays, children are very tired of doing nothing. It is really very tiring, just we keep wasting time. On the contrary, working and spending time doing something profitable, even if this is exhausting on the level of the body, at the end of the day, we feel peace. We accomplish something. We did something and we achieved. Another person also Bishop Robert South, he says, it is idleness that creates impossibilities. And where people do not care to do anything, they shelter themselves under a permission that it cannot be done. When we are tempted with idleness, we usually give up into we can't. Simply, there is no way. We go into this simply because we surrendered into this sin of idleness, this trap of idleness. This trap of idleness is very appealing to many. People enjoy doing nothing sometimes. Unfortunately, this nothing will turn into something evil, and Satan will find a good ground by which he can use us and our efforts and our energy to use something that's evil. The second trap that Satan uses in our current time is that when he convinces people to surrender to ignorance. Why all of those false prophets were successful to take the people away from God's truth? Simply because the people, they are too lazy to think and study and search God's word. King Solomon rebukes the people who surrender to ignorance by saying to them, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? This kind of contempt that we are okay with whatever we know is very dangerous, my brethren. People say that if you cease to be better, you will cease to be good. And this is how it is. Relying on what we received and what we learned in Sunday school many, many years ago, without doing our part in studying and searching and being keen and diligent to add to our knowledge, will make Satan to make use of this. This kind of simplicity and being content with being ignorant about the truth, about the word of God, led many to go astray and drift from the way to heaven. The third trap is the trap of offenses. About this, we can talk very much about many, many kinds of offenses that we have to encounter every day. But I will speak about one offense that is now becomes the major one. The one that's being taken into the offenses and temptations of modern technology. The Lord said, woe to the world because of offenses. And we can see that today, lack of discernment in using modern technology is wrecking Christians' homes in many, many ways. For example, watching all of these scenes over the internet and feeling okay that we spend many hours watching things at most of the time, they are unedifying, and many times they are just tempting, will lead us to defilement of minds and bodies with various forms of abominations. Handing the children again phones that have internet while they cannot discern and while cannot be careful, we are just exposing them to this kind of abominations that eventually will end up defiling their minds and their hearts. Lack of discernment also in using technology and the computers and the internet and all these kinds of media around us also make this growing tolerance to sin. Now our children, they are watching things, they are rated R, and it's okay, it's fine. What will happen is, they will come at a certain time and ask, why I cannot do this? What is the big deal of having this or being in a company with this? It's this growing tolerance of sin that make us to laugh when we see all kinds of fornications over the TV, and it's okay, it's fine. Not only so, but all of this also lead many people to be addictive. People are now treated, not because of addiction of drugs, but addictions of playing over these Nintendos and these kind of things that we feel like it's okay. They are not doing something wrong. Watch how many hours they are on this. I know myself about people who abandon their study because simply they spend the whole night playing on the computer all kinds of games with people online that they do not know. What we call this? Simply, this is addiction with all of the definition that the characteristics of an addiction might be. Also being overwhelmed with the computer and internet and all this kind of technology. I'm not speaking against them exclusively and saying this is wrong, you cannot use them. We all use the computer in one way or another. I'm speaking about lack of discernment and using this as an offense by Satan that lead to loss of dialogue and communication between family members, either the father or the mother or both or the children. They are over the computer all the time. Whenever they are at home, one of them or more is taken into something. And he might say, this is not wrong. I'm just reviewing what is on the Facebook. I'm just seeing who did what and who said what and who is posting the latest picture of him or her. How many hours we do this? I know now about people in the same household, they communicate by texting. The children text each other, brothers and sisters, and fathers and mothers. They are not up to this technology. One of them is on the computer, other person watching TV. Where is the communication here? We might be living under the same roof, but at the end of the day, there is no communication. What do we call this? Also, in many, many occasions, being overwhelmed with the media, sometimes, most of the times, lead people to be slack in carrying out spiritual duties. How many of us say that I do not have time to pray? Unfortunately, I couldn't afford it yesterday that I stand for 10 minutes and pray or spare 5 minutes to read the Bible or have a quiet time. If we look at our schedules, we'll see that many hours are wasted in this kind of exposures. What is the benefit? What did we gain out of this? Where is the diligence in pursuing God's ways and being always in relationship with Him? And it's okay. We are very busy and we feel like it's fine. This is another offense, another trap used by the devil in our current days. The fourth one is the trap of evil imaginations. We all have, unfortunately, to resist and go through this. As St. Paul said, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If we meditate upon the verse, bringing every thought into captivity means what? That there is a fight. And at the end of the fight, I'm requested that I take this kind of thought into captivity. Make it as a prisoner. So it's not going to overwhelm me or overburden me. Bringing every thought into captivity. How many thoughts that are evil in nature? And we are not responsible for them. They come upon us from outside. We have to resist in every single minute. Let me give you some examples of these Satan's arrows that he directs against us. Thoughts of doubts about God's existence, about His love to us, about His wise economy. Thoughts of lusts. What we see around us every day end up at the end of the day, persons overwhelmed with lustful thoughts. Thoughts of envy and jealous. Why do I have this and I don't have that? Why this person have this and I don't have it? Anger, sorrows without real reasons. How many times you are overwhelmed with a spirit of sorrow with no reason? I just feel low and blue. I do not know why. It's an arrow from Satan that's against my mind and the peace of my heart. Worries about tomorrow and what's going to happen and how things will develop. Fears, sometimes even with no identified source. All these kinds of evil imaginations come upon us every single day. If we write down all of the thoughts that come upon our minds in every day, we will be surprised how many hundreds and thousands even of thoughts, and most of them are troubling to us, will come upon us, and we have to resist. We have to resist. We have no other way. Resisting here, I don't mean that we just refrain from thinking. No one can do this. You cannot think of nothing. I know that men usually are tempted to think of nothing, but this is not the way. We should be occupied with something holy in order that we can resist Satan's arrows when it comes to the level of the mind. The last trap, speak about it today, is the deception of duality. Satan was very clever in promoting this. You want to be godly? It's fine. You can be godly and you can be ungodly. You can combine things together. Why you should deny yourself the pleasures of the world? Go to the church and do whatever afterward. God will not be upset. At least you acknowledged him. At least you kept this part with him. I can go to the church and pray, and afterward, I go out and I mingle and associate with all kinds of evil, and I don't even feel that this is wrong. St. Paul speaks against this when he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with unbelief? What do you think? There is no fellowship. It cannot be. You cannot put yourself under the same yoke with unbeliever and you expect that both of you will be like communicating in a godly way. There is no way you can combine darkness and light in the same place. This doesn't work. He says afterward, come out from among them and be separate. God always emphasizes on this. Come out and be separate. Do not associate with what is ungodly. Do not have this kind of duality. You cannot have both in the same place. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Do not touch. Just coming to touch what is unclean is something that we should refrain ourselves from. And I will receive you. When we refrain from touching what is unclean, God will receive us. We cannot touch what is unclean and come and partake of what is holy. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. When he will be father to us, when he is going to receive us, when we refrain from touching what is unclean. This deception of duality is very appealing in our current days. People feel comfortable with it. They feel like I can enjoy the pleasures of the world and all of the sins in it, and meanwhile I can still be called to be a son or a daughter to God. My brethren, it is truly a hard time and evil days where Satan is using all what he has in his tanks. We have to be very careful and we have to resist the devil with the grace of God so we can be victorious in our war against him. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.